All right, it's 9:17. You're listening to What's Happening on KTWH this Friday morning, March 14th. Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, is with me via phone. Thanks, Kenny, for being here, and happy thunder.
Oh, well, you are lucky. Not thunder everywhere. It was kind of a Arrowhead of Minnesota special.
Okay.
How about that? It's March 14th. And a line of a little broken band of pretty strong thunderstorms lifted over northwestern Wisconsin and over parts of northeast Minnesota, kind of hitting most of Lake County, including the shore, but even inland, pretty strong thunderstorms. That's all there is. It didn't really hit the Twin Cities. It was just for you.
Okay. And I know from your blog that this is part of a much bigger cyclone happening, correct?
Yeah, this is actually one of the strongest low-pressure systems to hit Minnesota in a long time. And it's kind of amazing because we haven't had, I mean, if we've been short of anything this winter, I mean, it's obviously we've been short of snow, we've been short on precipitation, but the main reason is we've been short on cyclones. We have not had our kind of regular supply of transient cyclones bringing, you know, precipitation and especially snow to Minnesota. And so you can actually tie the lack of kind of interesting weather we've had all winter to the lack of cyclone activity. So it's amazing to me that we get the cyclone, you know, we had one last week that was really intense. It didn't, this low pressure system itself was actually well to the southeast, but that's the one that we talked about last week that produced some very heavy snow in southern Minnesota. And this one is actually stronger. It's going to go right through the state. And the thing is even though you can usually say, yeah, you know, the intensity of a cyclone is really tied to how, essentially how hazardous and how interesting its weather is going to be. This particular one isn't going to do all that much over most of Minnesota. We will get another round of showers and thunderstorms this evening and overnight. And I don't want to diminish that. That could be, you know, providing some much needed precipitation and a little bit of excitement.
Yeah.
But it's not really going to go to town up here. Now, down in Iowa and Missouri, the Storm Prediction Center is monitoring the potential for a major outbreak of fast-moving thunderstorms with destructive winds and tornadoes. And actually, when those storms develop, they're going to be, you know, 150 to 300 miles to our south. And it's actually those storms that are then going to kind of weaken but lift northward into Minnesota and provide, you know, just some general thunderstorms over most of the state and maybe just some rain by the time it gets, well, you know, I can hope that there will be more thunderstorms. And then on the very backside, there will be a significant winter storm with a blizzard, but that's not going to affect, Lake County or any of the North Shore. It's not going to affect the, you know, Duluth area or the Twin Cities. It's really going to be maybe western Minnesota up to possibly International Falls, but maybe even a little farther west of there. Hmm. So it is a major system. It's just that when you get cored by it, which is when the center of the low pressure, which in this case will be about as deep as what you would find for maybe a Category 2 hurricane. It's going to be really low pressure. Yeah.
And where is that center? Right, where is the center?
The center is going to pass basically from southwestern Minnesota, pretty close to the North Shore. It's kind of a large center, and that's one of the reasons that there's kind of a big part of Minnesota is being sort of taken out of the action, because right in the middle of the low pressure, that's where you've got all the upward motions, but that's also kind of where everything initially comes together. And as the system matures, it actually kind of pushes some of the really inclement weather out away from the center. So we'll get one band, but then the more persistent precipitation is going to be off to our west and off to our north.
Okay. And this is something that looks like, I mean, if you looked at this on the radar, this looks like a hurricane, that kind of cyclone.
Yeah, if you look at it on a satellite picture, often you'll see almost like it's almost shaped like a, like a comma. Like, you know, if the way that commas are displayed in typeset, you know, with a little ball on the upper end and then kind of a curve that goes down from that. Yeah, like an upside down six almost.
Yep.
That's sort of what it'll look like. And you can see if you animate it, you'll be able to see it kind of spiraling. And it's just because the rotation of the Earth combines with the strong flow of air. You know, low pressure means that the air is essentially rising from the center. And so as the air rises, it has to be replaced. So it's replaced by other air coming in that has higher pressure pushing it towards the center. And as those things get big enough and strong enough and last long enough, they start rotating because of the motion of the rotation of the Earth. So you end up seeing these really hypnotic looking. Yeah, they look kind of like distended hurricanes. You'll sometimes even see a little clearing in the middle. It's not going to be like an eye, but it would be an area that's, you know, the size of a few counties. And sometimes it just kind of opens on the bottom. But you'll see even eye-like features in the middle of these things.
Okay. I won't pretend I fully understand what you're saying, because it seems like for that close to the eye of a Category 2 hurricane, we'd have stronger weather. But I was listening, but I still don't quite understand.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be a little tough. It's one of the differences about how hurricanes are maintained. Basically, hurricanes, all they do is take in a huge amount of heat. They don't work off of any contrast, right? So a hurricane is just this almost like perfect heat engine. It just takes all of this warm, moist heat energy off of the ocean, and it converts that into kinetic energy of the wind, and then it also converts it back into, you know, extraordinary rain. And if everything's in pretty good shape, a hurricane will be very symmetrical. But a land cyclone doesn't have that amount of heat to work with. So it draws its power from other ingredients. It really strengthens from temperature and moisture contrasts. And the contrasts between warm air and cold air, or between really humid air and much drier air, they have to come together to drive the boundaries that can help these land cyclones intensify. And that just gives them a very different shape. They're basically, you know, they just take on different shapes because the sources and then the distribution of energy are different.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of those things where someone says, you know, I'm not sure if I understand that. And I definitely didn't make it better.
No, you did. And I can see why over water and over land would be wholly different, even if they that, you know, they're similar patterns, but, you know, it's just a whole different amount of energy. And so a couple of weeks ago, you talked about the complete reset of when water and air flip as far as which is warmer, mm-hmm. which is colder, and how you can't at all predict from a dry winter, for instance, that you're going to get a dry summer. If it was, it would be a coincidence, because you have to have the reset. Is that reset happening right now? I mean, it seems a little early, I got to say, for thunderstorms.
Yeah, that's something else. I mean, the thunderstorms are a testament to how powerful the system coming in is. I mean, so, you know, you talk about high pressure and low pressure. And basically, you know, when we talk about low pressure, on average, it's just something below. I'm just going to throw out a number with some units. But we'll say if it's below about 1,010 millibars, because that 1,013 is the average. So anything below that average is could be considered low, and high pressure would be anything above that average. But it really is a range from anywhere between about 970 millibars with a really strong cyclone up to maybe 1,050 with a really strong high pressure system. This storm already has pressure around 980 millibars in Colorado. So it's already, you know, towards the bottom of anything we would ever expect to experience in a year. And it's actually intensifying as it moves in. And so all of that lift, this huge circulation that it's produced, has lift out almost in kind of concentric bands. And so you just had this band of lift kind of materialize, and it produced thunderstorms. And it is early. Most years you're not getting a thunderstorm in two harbors in the first half of March. It's very early. And that's a testament to the strength of this cyclone. In terms of if we've reset, It's a little early to tell, but I can tell you that just the weather patterns that we're seeing on the forecast models look really different from anything we'd seen this winter. I mean, after this system is going to come through, and it's going to hit western Minnesota hard, and it's going to give the rest of us just a little bit of rain and some gusty winds and maybe a changeover to snow and maybe some more thunder and lightning, but it's not going to be a memorable affair. But after this one, we just wait a few more days and we'll be looking at a system by kind of the middle of next week. We don't know where that one's going to go. It looks like it might have eyes on Wisconsin and maybe southeastern Minnesota, but it's too early to say, and it looks like a powerful winter storm. And then five days after that, there's another one. Hmm. We don't know where that would go. And then another 5 days, about as far out as the models go, we see yet another one. So we're in an active pattern, which is something we hadn't seen. I don't know if that means we've flipped, but, you know, this is about what happened this time last year, too. We went through a winter of nothingness. And then in March, things really changed. And yeah. I'm not predicting that that's exactly what's happening now. But it certainly is plausible.
Okay. And it's going to keep things interesting, it sounds like, which is kind of fun from our end. I like to hear about things coming. Plus, we definitely need the moisture. So rain or snow, yeah. Well, that'll be good.
Yeah. And the lightning is good for plants, honestly. It's a nitrogen fertilizer. So it's, you know, you can take that too. I'm not sure how much the plants would have noticed, you know, the nitrogen release from one or two lightning strikes in the area, but thunderstorms do have a role in the living world too. So,
wow, fascinating. All right, Kenny, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, have a great weekend, and you know, hopefully you get more thunderstorms.
Yeah, yep. Sounds good. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll see you. Bye-bye.
That was Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR.